So the first topic is somewhat of an isolated one in terms of the how it relates to the rest of the Perek. But nonetheless, it's a major topic in its own right, and this is really where it comes up in Shas. So we'd be remiss not to spend some time on it.
Okay.
And that is the topic of Ani Hamhapech B'Charada. So this din comes up sort of derech agav in the Gemara. It's sort of similar to it's an expansion of the din which is mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses the case of somebody who entrusts his shliach to go be mekadesh his wife, to go be mekadesh a woman, and the shliach sort of deceptively is mekadesh him for himself, mekadesh her for himself. So the Gemara says mekudeshes. Trying to explain, we don't say if he's Osek Shlok Hogan, so we'll do Afkeinu, Mikudeshes. And the Brisa, the Gemara cites, that Tosefta says, Tosefta Yivamos, that Masha Asui, right, like our Mishnah, but also Shalot Ben Shinod, that this person is Nog Minog Ramos, and the Gemara is Medayt. This is something which the Mishnah is applying to with the Lashon of a Halach, which is sort of surreptitious, it's deceptive, it's sneaky. So he's a Ramai, and the Gemara says this is true not only. What our Mishnah, what the Seta says about a shliach, or you could have said it specifically shlichus, but maybe if you're not entrusting him as a shliach, you're just simply asking him as a friend, maybe that wouldn't be something which would be considered ramai, that too is a ramai. Gemara says also that you shouldn't have thought of shlichus if I specifically mentioned the particular place of Mikadesh, so outside of that area, so that's not part of the shlichus, so therefore it's not considered ramos, it's ramos there too. And then the Mishnah discusses, introduces our din with a story. The story is that Rav Gidel was engaged in acquiring this certain piece of land, and comes along Rabbi Abba, I think, and he buys it, and this is something that upset Rav Gidel, and he mentions it to Rabbi Zeira, and Rabbi Zeira says, we'll talk to Yitzchak Nafcha when he comes to the Yachid Kala, so that's what they did. And Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says, I'll talk to him, and he finds Rabbi Abba, and he says, what would you say in a case of Ani Hamhapech B'Charara? Right, you have an Ani who is somehow engaged in pursuing some bounty, some Charara, in the metaphor, so somebody else comes along and preempts him and snatches it from his grasp. What would you say in that case? He says, Nikra Rasha. As far as what Nikra Rasha means, just, I didn't put it in the course, but it happens to be that the Tshuvos of Pesachim, the Chachmei Ashkenaz, quotes two opinions about this. More of a Havamina Maskana, that first maybe it just means a Chazal are calling him a Rasha. You should know that he's be called a Rasha by Chazal. Then he comes to the conclusion that actually it means that Bezin should go around being Machlimim, should be calling him Rasha and Bezin. Alright, so that's the din. So obviously something you shouldn't be doing. So the Gemara, so Rinafka says, so why did you do it? I didn't even know. And then you have the story about how he says, I'll tell you what, I'll give it back to him. But I don't want to sell it to him because it's just not—it's not a good omen. It's my first purchase in Lama Samna Milsa, so I'll give it to him as a matana. And of course, Rav Gidel wasn't going to accept it as a matana because son of Tanas Yichya. So nobody used it, and it was used as a yeshiva bacher paradise. Ara Derabat. So the din is that Ani Hamhapech B'Charara is Nikra Rasha. So here we have a number of questions that we want to address, including the machor. Is there any sort of origin for this din, where does it come from? In terms also of the scope and the parameters of the din, which we'll get to some today, and as well as the consequences of the din beyond the fact that Nikra Rasha. But the primary issue in our point of departure will be the question of just sort of the character of this din. What kind of halacha, what kind of norm is this? That one, right, we're saying here, obviously, that on some level, a person ought not to have taken this charar. So, that norm, how do we understand it? So here I think we can consider two major options. The first is to understand that basically this belongs to the world of Gzela. Right? The Isra's here is based on a recognition of the claim of the Mahapich upon the object. Of course, Hibuch is not a Maisa Kinyan, doesn't actually give him Mamish Bailus on the level of, on full level. But what the Gemara is saying is that it does, on some level, maybe with Nim Shrosa Din, maybe post Takana, we'll get to it, but on some level, it creates a claim, generates a claim upon this object for the Mahapech, and that claim then creates a halacha that somebody who violates it is in a sense is a kind of a Goslem. So then on some level it's an Isser Gezel, and therefore he's Nikra Russia. That's one way to understand it. Alternatively, we could say no. There's no recognition of any sort of claim here. There's nothing to do with Gezel. In fact, the Mehabech has no more claim on this object than the Sheni, than the person who's coming to preempt it. Rather, the Isser, we can say, belongs to the realm of Hichos Deus. Right? What the Sheni does here is callous and considerate. So Halacha demands refraining from that sort of behavior. The person has to act with Derech Yashar, with kindness and sensitivity to others, and that's where this comes from. You can't negatively impact a person's welfare in this case, like the Sheni has, and hence Nikra Russia. So first we'll discuss potential implications of this question, and then we'll get to this Chabur, but we'll note the possible relationship with this question, the question of character, with the question of the Makor, what it's associated with, which we'll get to. So first, in terms of the implications of this halacha, this question. So I think that it's likely to make a difference, or at least it's worth looking into, regarding a number of issues concerning the scope and the parameters of this halacha. Regarding each of them, I'll first outline and then we'll analyze. So the first is the question which Tosos and Rashi here get into, which is, what kind of transactions does this din apply to? All right, so Rashi Alatar says that what we're discussing here is any charashal hefker. And Rabbi Natam disagrees. Rabbi Natam thinks that's incorrect. Rabbi Natam, he has, textually as a raya, he says the Gemara, the Mishnah Peya, Perek Dalad, says that a ani who is being malaki at the peya, so if he throws his talus over the peya in order to, he mistakenly thinks this gives him some sort of acquisition over it. So ma'avir ne'menu, we can remove the talus and the other ani can take it. So you see that he's certainly mehapich on that peya. So you see clearly that it doesn't apply to hefker or to matana for that. But more significant for us, he gives an explanation from the time. The time explains that there's a chiluk here between mekach memkar and hefker matana. Mekach memkar, so money talks. You can find it somewhere else. Go to some other vendor. You don't have to buy it from this guy. Whereas hefker matana, it's not a given that you'll be able to find, that there'll be some available alternative to you. You can just go find some other chara shel hefker. Who says there'll ever be another such chara? So that's what Rabbi Natan says. Now, to the extent that this is quasi-gezel, let's say, Rabbi Natan's position, I think, clearly makes very little sense. If a mahapech has a quasi-kinyan, right, and that claim that the hibuch gives him is the basis for the iser b'shabishvilo nikra rasha, the sheni is considered a rasha, so that obviously should apply, regardless of whether you can find any alternative. Right? It doesn't matter whether or not some other hefker, some other item exists. Would you say, gezel is less usher if you know it's a really unique object? Obviously not. So it seems clear that it isn't gezel. If it's an ethical demand, however, right, it's some sort of halacha from Hilchos Deos, you might say, that it's required to act b'derech yashar, it's an hagi yashara. So then there's certainly room for Rabbi Tam's consideration. And what Rabbi Tam's shita then indicates is the specific content, the nature of this demand. The requirement here is to refrain, for Rabbi Tam, from gratuitously undermining somebody else's interests. The Hashkafa Satora is that it's completely right and appropriate and correct to prioritize one's own welfare over the interests of someone else's, right? However, to engage in a pursuit at somebody else's expense when it isn't even necessary in terms of your own interests, so that sort of gratuitous behavior, right? In the case where you have essentially equivalent alternatives other than what this person is already engaged in pursuing, so that's loathsome. That's forbidden. That's the nature of this halacha according to Rabbi Natan. And what this translates into then is his chiluk between mekar and matana. When it comes to mekar and mekar, given that we generally assume that there's no shortage of opportunities, there's no other, you can just go to some other vendor, you can't say the same about hefker and matana. And in that case, there's nothing wrong. Other rabbis and Rishonim say, well, the Ron says, l'chachila, you could do it. I put that in the Makoros, but the Nemuk Yosef says, actually, hareza zariz v'niskar. A person has to look out for himself. So in that case, there's no problem at all. It's not any violation Hanhaga Yishara. And we'll see that several Rishonim point to an important precedent for this halacha. We'll get to that after. So regarding the nature of this halacha, what emerges from Rabbi Natan, first of all, it has not absolutely nothing to do with Gezel or anything like that. Gezel, it's not Kinyan Gezel, it's an issue of Hanhaga Yishara. Right? Despite the fact that in Hilchos Kinyanim, he has no claim on what any level whatsoever, nonetheless, the Mahapich, the Sheni, is forbidden from preempting the Mahapich, and the nature of the Hanhaga Yishara under question is that you have to refrain from gratuitously undermining somebody else in their pursuit, in their pursuits of their interests. Now, what about Rashi? Rashi holds that it applies bein be hefker matana bein be megachumimkar. So here you could say he argues on one of two. He could say Rashi could argue that, you know what, this iser is it kein gezel. Right, on some level, this is the mahapech has a kinyan on the subject, is a quasi kinyan on the subject, and it's forbidden to violate that. So what's the difference if it's if yachalim so be makom acher, right? Clearly, naturally, in that case, it won't make a difference. Or you could argue that perhaps Rashi agrees that the Yisr is unrelated to Gezel. It stems rather from an ethical demand that Halacha and the Torah expects from us, right? Demand for in Hagi Yishara, but he disagrees regarding the nature and the extent of that demand. What we're demanding here isn't limited to simply refraining from gratuitously harmful behavior. And we'll come to that when we explore more fully the question about where this takana, or where this iser comes from. We'll come back to Rashi. So that's one issue where this question might come up. Another one is the question addressed by Samar Shonan, which is, what kind of mahapich does this apply to? And specifically, when we say ani, what does that mean? Is it specifically an ani? So here, Moshe Shonan, just being medayik from their silence, seem to assume that ani is lav dafka, just a part of the metaphor. And indeed, you have the tour, and the Makaros I sent out, the tour just simply says, it doesn't say anything about ani. On the other hand, a couple of Rishonim do say that it is that ani is dafka. First of all, the Ran says this, and we'll get to what he says in a second. And also the Meiri as well. The Meiri says that the on a Midas Chassidus level, so that din applies Bein Ba'ani, Bein Ba'ashir. So if you're a Chassid, you should be refraining from preempting even an Ashir. But the Nigar Rasha, that's true only of an Ani. So he too thinks that the Nigar Rasha element of it, is at least, is limited to somebody who is an Ani. Now, to the extent, so in terms of the question we started with, I think that we would say as follows, that to the extent that this is a quasi-gezel, so it's clearly compelling to assume that there's no difference. Right? Gezel is forbidden whether or not it's from an ani or an ashi. If it's a requirement, however, for a hanaga yishara, so then this is, there's room to understand this. Now, misvara, one could have taken this limitation in one of two ways. You could have said, could have understood it as defining, on one hand, you could have understood it as defining the basic context and nature of this, of the hanaga yishara here as belonging not simply to Hilchos Deus, but to Hilchos Matnos Aniyim. Right? You have here part of your responsibility towards those who are less fortunate than you, sort of an extension of Asof Tetachis Edecha, is to leave them alone if they're in the middle of pursuing a Charara. So you have a requirement to treat the Ani especially sensitively and just let him have it. From the Ran, though, this could be true for the Niri. From the Ran, though, it's clear that that's not what's going on here in terms of the limitation to Ani. The reason that it's limited to Ani, according to the Ran, is based on an application of the logic of Rabbi Natan. Right? If he's an Ashir, we simply assume, in that case, if he's an Ashir, that he too can find it elsewhere. Right? This is the Ran in, I have it in the sheet that I sent out. When we call Malcolm Ashir, I'm a happy Chararo, Bacher, Benatla, Menu, Ainu, Nikar, Russia. Why? The fisha asher matzoi lo lechem beveso olikach mishchenav. He can make it up elsewhere. The afagad the high uvda the rav gisa. Then he quotes the okay. Then he's yeah. So that's the reason, because he too has the resources to make up for it. So it's not that it's only an issue it's just a hilchos matnas aniyim type problem. It's not. It's rather that the ani, when it comes to the mahapich, if he's usher, we say about him too that he can compensate elsewhere. Now, there's a very simple nafkamina, which is the last line in the Ran, which is that the Ran thinks that it actually isn't limited to ani in all cases. He thinks that when it comes to karkaos, then even an usher, this applies even if it's an usher, right? He says So if it's something which is, you know, location, 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 you can't find the, you know, the you're not going to find another field at that address.
Doesn't that show the Gemara is a Melitza with Ani?
Not according to the Ram. The Ram thinks that
the case in the Gemara is about Karka.
But the din of Ani, but the question of Chararo, which was Metapolin, that was formulated.
Gemara brings a case.
Yeah.
Right after the din.
The Gemara brings in the course of discussing the story, brings the case.
Right,
I mean, it comes from Rav Yitzchak Nafta, who said what happened. He was trying to, you know, get Rav Abba to understand what had happened here. What happens when Ani Amabit L'Charor? So according to the Ran, what's going on is. When it comes to Charara, Metaltalin, so then in Chinami, it's Dafka the Yani. It's Dafka the Yani because, you know, he's not going to be able to find the equivalent Charara. He doesn't have the resources, he doesn't have the friends. Okay? But when it comes to an Ashir, so just like you could find elsewhere, he can find elsewhere. But when it comes to Karku, which is the case that they were discussing, in Chinami, it's not specifically in Ani. It's the same principle that in Metaltalin leads to saying it's specifically in Ani, leads in Karka to say anybody. Anybody who's Mahapesh, because the Ashir also is not going to be able to buy. To get this property, or maybe you won't even be able to find any kind of property.
I'm
sorry?
For this matter, Ani Lo Sodaber. Find this din, for example, someone who could have a lot of assets, but if he's Baderek, for example.
Right.
Same thing over Ani Lo Sodaber. For this carpe, he's like an Ani.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if that's what he's saying, or he's saying more that even if it's not so much that he's an Ani in regard to this, is that the only reason it was ever limited to Ani is because he can't find it elsewhere. But, I mean, I think it's
so he was negotiated the deal, the price he couldn't get.
He doesn't say why. We're going to get to this eventually. I think it's partially because we assume that he might be pressed for money. Or he just doesn't. I mean, the way the Ron says it here, actually, is that the Ani simply sort of socially doesn't have what to fall back on. You know, the Ashir is much of the Lechem Bevei. So, first of all, he has something in his house, and also he has friends, people who are willing to help him. You know, Likach Mishkenav. But the Ani presumably doesn't have any of these, and therefore, when it comes to Metaltalin, we don't say that about the Ani that he can go find elsewhere. That's the way.
What is true for sure, though, is that the case by Usher in the Gemara is at least as bad as meaning the motivation for the Isser by an Usher has to be at least as bad as it is by Ani.
What do you mean?
Or else, Iran, because you couldn't be able to use the concept of Ani Mabit Bechara to prove that that you can't do it in the case of Usher.
Well, Miri doesn't make any distinction between Karka and Metaltalin. I'm not sure what he would say. I presume that he would say that if, you know, that we're dealing here with people who are Hasidim, so for them it shouldn't have made a difference. You know, is Ani Hamehapich L'Charara, that's L'Kuleyam. And for you, meaning you are Rabbi Abba, so you're somebody who's a Hasid, should be striving for Hasidus, Midah Hasidus. So for you, you would understand the Nimshal, even though technically speaking, maybe I wouldn't say he's a Rasha, says the Miri. But nonetheless, it's something you should be giving back to him because you're, you know.
That was the Miri's decision to tone down. Hmm? I mean, the Ran didn't decide to tone it down.
So I think the Ran is going to say, just in terms of how the metaphor works, is that it's simply the reason Ani is. When we talk about Farah, we're talking about Ani, it makes no difference. If we're talking about Karka, then it wouldn't just be Ani. And therefore, sort of within the. He didn't think that there's some exception here based on who we're talking about. He thought when it comes to Karkos and Hinami,
right,
everybody has the. I mean, there's no such thing as a limitation to Ani because everybody is just not Mitsuyin Lika elsewhere. It's the equivalent of Rabbi Tam basically saying Mekuk Memkar. He's saying even if it's Mekuk Memkar, when it comes to property, to land, so then you don't say it's Mitsuyin Lika. Okay, so that's.
You couldn't argue that by the Gezel thing, it could only exist by Ani. It would make sense to only exist by Ani.
I think that's harder. I don't want to say it's impossible. Let's say Takanos Mishum Gezel, which we'll get to some. You don't find that Hagozel Mitzias Chayish over the Katan. So it's Gezel Midibrei. Unless you're an Ani, then it's okay. We don't generally find something like.
Yeah, we also don't find Ani Mahapich Bechara. We also don't find the concept of Nikra Gezel by Mahapich Bechara. I'm saying it's already a strange. The Ani's psychological, like
to the extent, but I'm saying to the extent that it's really the issue is the Mahapech has a quasi Kenyan, people have to respect that.
Okay.
Or you know, so then I think it, you'd be, I'm not saying it's possible, I think it's
very unlikely.
It's you're hard pressed in Mechanica, yeah. Okay, so third, which is sort of similar in terms of different contextual variables, are two that are mentioned by Rabbi Yerucham. By Rafaka, I don't believe these are cited. The last two are discussed in Shulchan Aruch, both they as abroad. But as far as Rabbi Yerucham, I'm not sure that's mentioned. I have to take over again. In any event, he mentions two issues, which I haven't seen anybody else discuss, that he thinks is limited to, that this din is limited to. He says, first of all, it doesn't apply to Yemenisiyat, where somebody else will take it. If you know somebody else, if the Sheni knows that there's going to be a Shlishi and he's going to take it if I don't take it, so then there's no problem. Then there's no Nikar Rasha. Now that, I think, clearly doesn't make any sense if you're talking about Gesel. So if you know somebody else is going to steal it, so what's the difference? You wouldn't say that. Al Kopanim, you shouldn't be the one person who's stealing it. So clearly, Ibn Yerucham is assuming it's some sort of Hanhaga Yashara. It's still a Chiddush, I think, if you say it's a Hanhaga Yashara, but it's at least something which isn't completely implausible. And then the Ibn Yerucham has a second, right? That was his first suggestion. V'dafish Nikar Rasha B'davar Shem Lo Yikach Osa Zeh Sheni Lo Yikach Osa Acher. Right, but if the mocher is actually somebody who himself needs money, and I'm offering, the sheni who wants to preempt him is offering more money, so then, or he says, or the mahapik is not really doing this, he's just doing this as a sort of an investment. He's not doing it for his basic parnasa. So then there's not nikra rasha. So here again, just taking the case of the mocher, let's say the mocher is poor, the simplest thing to say is that this makes very little sense if the idea here is that there's a quasi kinyan that can't be violated, right? If the mahapech has some sort of kinyan over the object on whatever level that we're talking about, but that creates some sort of isser, so then just because the mocher is an anis, then we'll say okay, so then it's okay. Presumably not. And especially since, given that we know, in terms of the prior variable, that it's clear that Rabbi Yochum didn't understand it that way, it seems clear, this too is a manifestation of that. This is not an Isser Gezel of any sort. It's simply a Hanaga Yishara, and according to Rabbi Yochum, that what we have to take into account here is also not just the Mahapik, but the Mocher. He needs it, this din doesn't apply. Okay, another issue that I think, yeah.
Is there like some precedent for Hibuch being considered like a kinyan? Is there a reason why?
We had the first defined Hibuch, which we're about to. But in terms of, let's first define, what is Hibuch?
I'm just saying, we already jumped to saying that Hibuch might be a quasi-kinyan.
I said it's a quasi-kinyan, yeah. So the question is, what is, it's hard to evaluate what that.
That was really just Misfar. Right?
What?
That was really just Misfar. We haven't really seen any.
That
Hibuch should be treated like a quasi-kinyan.
I'm not saying it would be true. I'm saying that's where this din comes from. We'll see.
Ani Hamahabek Bechara would be the source for Hibuch being.
No, Hibuch is in a Maisekinyan. The question is, though, why is it being called a rush? What did he do wrong here? So, one way to say is, Hibuch isn't sufficient to create a kinyan, that's for sure. But we recognize the claim on some level. That's the point. It's just. So let me get to the. Yeah?
And when you said the last case of Rabbi Yerucham can't be, would indicate that it's not Gezel.
Right.
But can't you say that the same way that you would be taking it from the Ani who wants it, so too you are preventing the Mocher from losing money?
So I think if he had said, say to the Mocher is an issue which could impact Gezel too. We'll get to that. But the problem is that it shouldn't be limited to Ani then. Meaning, I don't understand. And if you want to say that it's true, you have a quasi kinyan, but you know, I'm fleshing it out a little bit more. But you're saying that you don't have your quasi kinyan is not greater than the kinyan of the guy who actually owns it now.
Right.
So why shouldn't we take his interest into account? And I think that's exactly we'll see where this comes up. The thing is, it wouldn't matter though. Then if it were specifically an ani, why are we only caring about if it's an ani? If it's an issue of you can't violate his kinyan, but of course we're not going to say that where you know, we'd be then impinging upon his kinyan.
But if ani am habi charara, the ani is literal, then you could say that the mocher is.
I mean, according to the Ran, right? So, but I think if you say that ani is literal, I think it probably indicates that we're not dealing here with a kind of gezel. So that's what I was saying before.
That's
meaning,
true.
You know, it's not impossible to say, oh, maybe we'd only limit it to gezel, but it makes a little, much more sense if you're going in a different direction to then consider that it would be limited to.
Just a technical question.
Yeah.
Is there room to make a diuk between saying Eino Nikarasha and Ein Isser? Like, there's no Isser. Tosu says there's no Isser when he says, when he qualifies it.
What do you mean?
Like, in his qualification, he just says there's no Isser if it's Hefker.
Right.
While the Rabbeinu Yochum he just says is Eino Nikarasha.
There could be. I mean, the question...
Because, I mean, you could still say...
That's why I said, I started out, you know, that there's something you shouldn't have done here, otherwise it wouldn't be called a Rasha. So that's what Tosu is calling an Isser. We'll discuss... More the where that is, if this is a tekano or if it's somehow rooted in some iser min haTorah, we'll see. But on some level, I mean, it couldn't have been something which is completely halacha doesn't view this as being something which you ought not to do, and yet you're considered a rush if you do it. So that's what we're referring to when we refer to iser. It could be that it's tekano derban. We'll see. But even without that, I think you could call it an iser because we're just calling the iser whatever it is that you know warranted you're being labeled a rush.
I was more saying because you thought that even if you think it's on Haga Yishara, Rabbeinu Yerucham is still being a little extreme in saying that there's no issue.
It's extreme. I'm saying it's
not extreme.
It's a Kiddush. It's a
Kiddush. Right. So yeah. I would say that if he's just saying Eino Nikarasha, then maybe he still thinks there's a problem. But we're not going to call you Rasha.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see other cases of this sort of thing where you had it where you had something which is clearly on Haga Yishara, and the question becomes, you know, do we subject it to these sort of variables? Or, oh, if he really needs it, oh, we'll see exactly. It wasn't something I included on the Makaros, but I did. It is on the... it wasn't something it was in my comments, but it's on the Makaros. We'll get it. Yeah, so this brings us to the issue which Shu was already bringing to the fore, which is, what qualifies as Hippo? What is Hippo? So here, the Maharim of Rutenberg is known more from the citation in the Mordechai, what?
Maharim?
Yeah. The Rebbe of the Rush.
Right?
No. The Maharim of Rutenberg. So he says that this whole din applies only after Pisuk Adam. Right? Only after they've already basically agreed, and the only thing that's missing is actually just handing over the mouse, or the Maisikin, whatever it is. That's the only thing that's missing, but we've come after there's a contract, after we've come to an agreement, in terms of the price as well. But I'm not so sure that others agree. The Torah Princess doesn't sound like this. He simply says, I'm a chazir. Right, the Amachazer after Adarblik Noso. So you see somebody is engaged in pursuing it somehow, you see he's shown interest, he's set his eyes on it. I don't know that it's specifically, I don't think you can die from the tour, that it's only if there's no Pisuk Adam. That there's already Pisuk Adam. And I should point out that I think it's clear from the Eerie that this is true, but I don't want to point this out, I don't want to explain how you can see that. I do believe that the Eerie is clear, it implies that it's Lavdavka, that there's piece of Adam, and even if you just know that he's interested, that would also constitute Hibuch.
Now, did the Maharam talk about in case of Hefker? Is he Dafka talking about Hefker now that he's talking about piece of Adam?
Does he not have the case of Hefker?
So he's of the opinion of Rabbi Natan. So the question is whether or not, what would he say then if he weren't of the opinion of Rabbi Natan? We'll see. Meaning, that only helps if you're Rabbi Natan. Meaning it only makes sense to say it's always this if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, which he did.
Well, it makes sense if you think that it's about, if you think that the Pisuk Adam is just to show how serious you are. Mm. Because by something that you're buying, so purchasing requires you to at least take a step. But when something's Hefker, so that the step right before being Kona it is actually the Mahapech. As opposed to by Mechira, where like you have to take care of all the like business elements and then actually put the final blow. The question is why the Pisuk Adam is important. So I was just saying, if it's just to show how serious you are, and that's what's underlying, like, some.
So I don't think it's that. I think it's one of two things. And one of them is that we can consider it to be linked to our question. I mean, to the extent that it's based on Mahapich's, let's say, quasi claim, you got some sort of claim on some level over this object. So then I think the position Martin Rumberg makes a lot of sense. It's extremely compelling. Because it's hard to say that a Mahapich has some kind of claim upon the Mocher's property when it isn't even clear that the Mocher will ever agree to terms acceptable to the Lokeach. And Chitesi, that we could say, oh, so he wants it, so because he wants it, so, okay, but the Mocher doesn't want to sell to him at that price. So there's no way you can argue that he has some sort of claim over it if they haven't even agreed upon a price yet. This shear of Pisa Kadamim, sure, this is why, if you take this to be the shear, then we do have precedent for this elsewhere. According to some, this is the shear also for Mishapar. You only get a Mishapar after Pisa Kadam. He doesn't mention it in this context, the Marmur, but that's also true. So it has some sort of, that gets, as to your question, it then requires analysis of Mishapar. To what extent that is based on, it requires some sort of real basis for Kinyan. But we'll leave that aside for now.
If you assume like that, Maram, yeah. Beyond time could be easily be exile issue also.
Oh, so that's what I'm going to get to. So, right, so that's what I'm saying. Now, the Maram Nuremberg, those who disagree, let's say, well, first let me just point out, those who disagree with this, meaning they say you don't need peace of Kadamim, let's say, I think the tour, so it could be that they'll say we're more generous with recognizing a claim. Yeah, and Echinami, as long as he's engaged in pursuing it, a Lekech who's in the midst of pursuing an object, so we recognize on some level his priority over that object. Alternatively, they think it's irrelevant. It's true that nothing was committed here, and he can't be said to have set down any sort of claim on the object, which gives him a stake in it. But that's not, this issue here is not based on that. It's based on simply an ethical demand for considered behavior, and as far as that's concerned, it doesn't depend on a piece of good dumb. Now, I want to emphasize, and this is what you're pointing out, that Maram himself makes a compelling argument for Pisa Kadamim on the basis of his assumption, which was that the written time is correct, which is not what I'm saying, and it makes sense because, again, he is presenting this within Rabbi Natan based on an ethical consideration, which is Seder Democher. Right? This is the Shulchan Aruch Nuremberg, where he says, this is, I have it here in the sheets, that Diyamarta Dafila Bichi Hai Gavna Mikir Yosh, he says, if you want to tell me that it doesn't depend on Pisa Kadamim, and Cain, Sadina Lemocher, Shem Yavar Ruvain, Liknos Karka, Shoshima, Velo Ratzel, Lassi, Velo Dover Muad, Velo Kadesh of Yo, Oye Rasha Shum Adam Luknosa, Lahosif, Apilo Adame Shav Yo. So, and he brings precedent for the consideration of Seder Democher, which we'll get to, it's important. But that, what that means is, that sort of undermines, to some extent, the claim that I was making, which is, it's only to some extent, I mean, I think that still, if you say it's based on Kinyan and it's based on quasi Kinyan, I think it makes a lot of sense to say what he's saying. I don't. What clearly emerges in the Maram Nuremberg is it also makes sense. You can also make an argument for it based on the idea that there's simply a Hilchos Deos halacha here because we have to, when we're dealing, and his argument is we have to consider not just the Ma'apik but also the Moch. So it's not Mukrach in that sense, but I think it's still something to consider. Okay, so that's in terms of just the nature of the Isser, but now just sort of in interaction with the scope of the Isser. But now I want to turn to the question, which I think also we'll see is probably quite related, which is what pasuk in the Torah is the din of Ani Mavach B'Charara associated with? Now, that it is associated with some pasuk is not itself self-evident. You could have said, to whatever extent there's a real Isser here, it's forbidden, so it's simply an independent chazal, if that. Or even if it's the Takanos chazal. Or even if it's not an independent Takanos Chazal, let's say it's part of a broader scheme of Takanos. But it's in no way connected to anything Makor B'Torah. However, I think that it's clear that Rishonim and Poskim imply otherwise. They all seem to suggest that the Din is strongly related to some Takana Derabanan, regarding which we find associations with the Pasuk in the Torah. And what that implies is, and we'll get to this, that the Isser Ani HaMahabich B'Charara is connected to or associated with that pasuk. Whether that pasuk is associated as an esmachta, simply an esmachta for the takana, or the pasuk is in some sense what guided or motivated Chazal in being mitaken, assuming that Ani HaMahapich has involved some sort of takana, perhaps even more, perhaps Ani HaMahapich is somehow within the scope of the mitzvah expressed in the pasuk, which we'll get to. So I'll note now three possible pasukim with respect to each, how we come by the association, now we come by that this is possibly the apostate which associated with Ani HaMahapich, and what is the nature of the association. So, one possible makor we find is Vasitza HaYashar V'Tov. So this, I think, is clearly implied by several Rishonim in the context of explaining Rabbeinu Tam. The Tosos that we have, the Tosos on our daf, they don't refer where Rabbeinu Tam gets his chiluk from. They don't say anything other than what we've discussed before. But not so in other Rishonim. The Orzarua, I think, is the first one who really points to this, but it's also then followed by the Rash and the Ran. They say that Rabbi Natan's Chiluk is based on, or it's parallel, it's based on a precedent to the Chiluk of the Gemara in Bava Metzia sets down with respect to the din of Din Bar Metzra. The din of a Bar Metzra is that the owner of an abutting property has priority over others in acquiring the property that abuts his own from the seller, as long as he offers fair market value. So then the mocher essentially has to sell to him, even if he sells to somebody else. The din is that the ben hametzar can be misagid them. The bar metzra can go to the lokeach and simply give him the money. Akor cho, he gets the property. And the Gemara Metzia says with respect to this din of din bar metzra that this is somehow mishum vasisa hayashav rato. This is on the. Do people have the sheets that I?
Yeah.
Right. The Gemara. So first, I'll just point out the Orzarua, just to read it inside. He basically says what we have in our Tosfos. Then this is the Orzarua of Metzia. He then adds the Birshu B'Tam Zatzal Perak Omer B'Kedushin Tukuvase Amrinan Matana Les Bei Mishum Dinei Bar Mitzvah. So with respect to this, So. Right, so he says it's based on Bar Mitzvah. Right. So now, just first, in terms of just the din of Bar Mitzvah, Vesisa Yashav Ratov, what's the nature of the association between this din of Bar Mitzvah and the Pasuk? So Rishonim assumes that we're Pashut, that din of Bar Mitzvah is a Tekanas Chazal. Raman, for instance, Amr Chachamim, Rosh speaks of it as Tekanas Chazal as well. Now, so one could have said, you know what, this Pasuk is just an Isma. Or perhaps it serves sort of as a motivating or guiding axiom in Chazal's B'Mitakin. They were motivated in order to achieve some sort of level of Yashar V'Tov that this should be that this should be something which they should institute. But several Rishonim make clear that it's much more than that. In some sense, this activity is Bechlav V'Asisa Min HaTorah. And the Ramban, the famous Ramban in Al Torah, elaborates and develops the notion in general that the Torah, in several contexts, posits a mitzvah which addresses itself not to specific concrete actions, but to an overriding value or ideal. After the Torah commands and prohibits, let's say, specific actions in relating to some area of a Jew's existence, so the Torah then concludes with a mitzvah that with respect to those activities beyond the particular ones that have been already singled out, a person's conduct in that sphere has to be in accordance with a certain value or ethic. So the Ramban says, for instance, Tukdoshim Tiyu, right, where the after we read a whole list of the Surah Rayos, so you can have it though, says the Ramban, and he points to the famous line Nabal Bershus Torah. You can have it that you've checked, you fall through the cracks. You're not doing anything which has been singled out. Nonetheless, the Torah says in order that you you should refrain from being a Nabal Bershus Torah, Kadesh Hashmacha Dorshim Tiyu Kadesh Hashmacha B'Mashem Mutalach. And he gives another example. The Ramban thinks that Tishvos, the Mitzvah Asiyah Shavasim, is also like this, that we have the Malachos of Shabbos, and then, for the Ramban, this is the case, that the Asiyah Shavasim is telling you beyond those Malachos, you have to be Shabbistic. You can't be just like you. And the Ramban points out, you could have a Yom Chol, essentially, without doing Malacha. So that's what the Asiyah Shavasim is coming to tell you. And more directly for us, in the realm of social interaction, Bein Adam L'Chavero, says the Ramban, you have mitzvah of Asisa HaYashav Ratov. Right, this demands that one see to it that even if one hasn't, you've checked all these, it's not Rechilus, it's not Nekima Benetira, it's not Gzela, even if what you're doing, or even if you're now engaged in something which doesn't fall under any of these specific mitzvahs losa say that have been commanded with respect to it, so it's not prohibited, nonetheless one has to see to it that he's acting in accordance with Yashas and goodness. Now, this is all before Chazal stepped into the picture. And the Ramban hints a little bit, but the Magmish is more explicit, that sometimes Chazal do enter the picture, that they can pick up the baton in a sense. What Chazal, the Magmish explains, this is on the Makoros, Chazal sometimes do is that they single out specific concrete acts among those that weren't specifically singled out by the Torah, but they specifically command or prohibit that act on account of its either contravening the value expressed in the pasuk or exemplifying it, right? So this is the Magen Mishnah in Hilchos Shchenim, with respect to the Din Bar Mitzvah. In fact, the Magen Mishnah says the Inyan Din Ben Amitzar Rusha Torah Seinu. He's clearly echoing the Ramban, but then he's just going beyond it in terms of the activity of Chazal. Pusha Torah Seina Tmima Nikna Natna Batikan Midas Adam and Hagosa Ban Hagosa Ubehan Hagasa Baolam Klalim Ba Miras Kedoshim Tiyu Vakavana Kamasha Amru Kadesha Tchab Mashamudalach Shalay Shatu Vachar Taivos Chen Amra Vasiza Yashava Tov Vakavana Vakavana Shis Naheg Behanaga Tova Vishara Imbene Adam Lohaya Minarai Bechol Zer Vatsavas Pratim Lefish Mitzvah Torah Heim Bechol Eis Bechol Zman Bechol Inyan. This, interestingly enough, is something which Rabban doesn't say. Rabban simply says it's just impossible. You can't fit the Torah to say every single thing. But he gives a sort of a justification beyond that. That's not our issue. He says, "V'chein umidos ha'adam anagasa mischalepes v'yazvam yishem v'achachamim zal katsu ksas pratim mo'ilim nofim tachas klalim elu u'mehem sha'asu osam bedin gamor u'mehem l'chachilu v'der chasidus v'akom midivrayim zal v'zeh amru v'chulu v'chulu." So, what needs further analysis is the, and it's a subtle question, is the nature of the Kanos Chazal here. What is the impact? How do things change once Chazal are Metakin in these cases? How does this change from what happened, from what was the situation with the Rishis? I once asked, in a related parallel context, which we'll get to, I once asked Rav Lichtenstein could we just say that they're Chiyuvim Midrabanan, but Chiyuvim Minatara? So he thought, no. And he thought that the Rav, in the context which we'll get to, was saying something else, that that there's some, on some level they're chiyuvim min haTorah as well. It's just a matter of to what extent it's being singled out. This specific activity is being singled out, so that you didn't have min haTorah, and that's only midrabanan. We'll discuss this a little bit more over the course of the Bura, but the point is that what has been commanded in some specific sense, midrabanan, is really something which, on a level, is implicit, or it's called for by the pasuk in some more general sense. So come back to our topic. So the Gemara Bava Metzia now. So that's just in terms of the din of Din Bar Mitzvah. That's what we're dealing with. So Gemara Bava Metzia and Daf Kuf Chesam Beis, and this is what the Orzer was pointing to, says that Matana Les Be Din Bar Mitzvah. So the Orzer, right? If the owner of the property wants to give the Matana to somebody, so we don't say he has to give it to the only person that he gives it to, whoever he wants to give it, and then comes along the Ben Ametzar and his Masalik B'dam. So explain the Orzerua and others. And what we see here is that what a Basisa HaYashar demands is that even if Minadin, let's say, Ploni, has no more claim to a certain piece of property than you do, and therefore my taking it doesn't fall under any specific prohibition, right? You can't undermine his interests gratuitously, right? Basisa HaYashar B'tov demands that as far as your interests are concerned, you can buy property anywhere else. So why do you have to buy property that for this person, the Metzar, is something which is unique? It's a unique opportunity for him to expand his property. So for you to just have to specifically buy this property, that Vasisa Yashar Vatov, that even though Minadin, you would say there's something wrong with it, but there's something wrong with it from as far as Vasisa Yashar Vatov is concerned. However, when no such opportunity exists elsewhere, like with Matana, right? Because who says somebody else is gonna just simply be so magnanimous and just give me land. So when it comes to Matana, where you may not have that other opportunity, there, in as much as you're not undermining him needlessly, right? It's for this. You're not just renting him for the sake of renting him. The property is something which is, in terms of your own interests, a unique opportunity. In that case, Vasisa Yashar V'atov is not at all implicated, and there's no basis to require that you refrain from it. You don't have to prioritize, as I said before, you don't have to prioritize somebody else's interests over yours. So what this clearly implies, I think, is that din, in terms of the topic of Ani Amav Chararah, that the din of Ani Amav Chararah is based upon Vasisa Yashar V'atov. Right? It doesn't do much good to prove from Bar Mitzvah that, as the Ran says here, right, as the Ran who also has the line that the Orzeru has, or also has the point, right, that when he quotes Rabbi Tam, he says, "Avnisha mehapek liskos min ahefker yinami matana leka mishum ani amapek b'charara ukedamrinam deperek hamekabel." Gemara b'mitzia de matana les bein mishum din bar metzra de ama. What do you see from here? Bechiha leka mishum vasisa yashar v'tov. So here you see when you have no other opportunity, it's not something which is you can get elsewhere. So in that case, there's no mitzvah vasisa yashar v'tov. That's only a good proof if we assume that ani mehapek b'charara is mishum vasisa yashar v'tov. Now, I think that much is clear. What isn't entirely clear to me is whether what we're saying is whether, like Din Bar Mitzvah, we assume that there was some takana derabanan, whether the takana was the aser doing it or that it should be nikra rasha. Was there some takana derabanan here, like there was with regard to Din Bar Mitzvah, or is it the equivalent in terms of Vasita Yashar Vatov to the, let's say, to the din of Bar Mitzvah before the Tikkun Rabban? Right? It's in the Rabban's, the Rabban points out, he says one, he also mentions Bar Mitzvah, because the Rabban says that the Rabbi Seinu, that they had a, we have a good medrash for Vasita Yashar Vatov, says it means is Pshar Lufin Mishra Sadin. Rashi mentions it, it happens to be, we don't know, I don't think anybody's ever found where that medrash is. But he explains, this is his Yisod Gadol, that Yishra Lahaskir B'Torah, Kol Hanhagos HaAdam, Kul B'Chule. So, it what the Torah gave is certain specific activities, then it gave this sort of Kolel mitzvah, Chazal Omar B'Derek Klash, Yaseh Tov V'Yashar B'Chol Davar, Ad She'Yikanes B'Zat Pshar, V'Lifni Mishra Zedin, U'Kagon Ma She'Eskir B'Din Dabar Metzer. Afilu Ma She'Amru, Pirko No, B'Diburo, B'Nachas Mebrios. So that's also Bechlal Vatzizei Yashar B'Tov. Now, those cases, there was no Takana. There was no Takana that you had to be B'Pashas. It happens to be the Smak, I think, does say it's a Derabana. That a person should be Murav Mebrios. But I think that's somewhat of a unique position. Most assume, I think, that there's no Takana Derabana that you have to do that. The point is that it's something which is implied on this level before the Takana Derabana. So maybe that's what you have with Bar Mitzvah here, too. And I think it can make a Nakamina. It could make, I would suggest, a simple Nakamina, similar to the issue that we discussed before. And that would be as follows. Let's say if we assume, does it matter if the sheni, the tofes, is an ani also? Or let's say, does it matter if the sheni is an ani who's pressed for money and the mahapech himself is actually an asher? So then in terms of the way the Rana's vision of this halacha, it's nishaflu ayotzos. Right now we're dealing with a mahapech who's an asher, and the ani is the one who wants to be, is the sheni, wants to be tofes. So I don't know, I didn't see any discussion regarding this as far as Ani and Mahabit is concerned. But regarding Bar Mitzvah, so here we have an explicit Machlokes Rishonim, and we have the opinion of none other than Rabbi Natan himself. Right, this is in the Makara sheet I sent out, you have in the Gemara of Basra, the Gemara of Basra has this ambiguous case that Ronya, he bought some land that was bordering Ravina's property, and Ravina thought, you know, I'm going to misalik him b'dam. I'm going to enforce din d'Bar Mitzvah here. So Rav Sapra says to Ravina something that we Rishon have. What is it? He says to him, right? Amrle Rav Sapra b'rei de Rav Yeva le Ravina. Amri inshi arba litzla arba litzlala. Okay. So Rashi says maybe that I heard this perish. Tzela means Ani, Tzala means usher, and what he's saying is that, you know, the Ani also has to be Mepharnes himself, and he has no, you know, he's pressed for money, so he needs this land. So this is what he says, right? He says, right? Kimo, Chach Amar lo Arba, ki karot tzrichin l'ratzan Ani, l'mal chalos beso, l'yom kimo shetzrichin l'asher. V'ze Ani hu, meaning Romeo was an Ani. V'tzarech lo hasadeh l'farnasa, he needs to make a parnasa, so that's, so he says, k'shem sh'ata omer lo estalik me'alai b'dina d'Bar Mitzvah. So you want to come to me, you want to say, listen, I'm going to... Here, you leave the land here. I'm giving you the money. Leave the land because of Din Bar Mitzvah. Mishum Vasisa Yashar V'Tov. Kacha Ani Omer Lecha Ase Yashar V'Tov Le'ani Zev V'Al Tesalkeh. I'm telling you also, Yashar V'Tov, don't do it. So Rabbi Natan, this is the Sigma of Abbas and Tafim and Off. Rabbi Natan says over there, is the Tosafot's report, the Perish of Kuntras, Mach Rabbi Natan, Ein Merachim Medin. I don't understand Rashi. Where do we take into consideration? You have a Din. The Din's a Din. Ani Asher, it's a din. So what does it mean that, oh, if he's an Ani, so they don't... So I think one could argue, this is my suggestion, that I think it makes a lot of sense to assume that Rabbeinu Tam's argument is compelling, is a function of the fact that there was the Tekana of Din Bar Mitzvah, meaning that it really is a din, because it was the Tekana. But if it were just sort of unlegislated Midei Rabbana, and it's just now something all, it's all Bechlal, Vasisa Yashar Bar Tov, so then... I think it's hard to argue that it makes no sense to say we should take into context, we should take into account the context. If you don't need it and he needs it, so does Asisa B'Yashar Tov, if you don't need it and he needs it, so do we say really, oh, for him, he must do, it's not Yashar Tov for him to take it, and, you know, it is Yashar Tov for you to take it back. I think it's hard to argue that absent a takana of Din Bar Mitzvah, which just simply imposes it as an obligation upon all, that we would take that into consideration. In which case, what we'd have here is simple, I think, a nakamina. Let's say, in that case, that exact case, would, let's say, Rabbi Tam say about the ani, the usher, let's say, who wants to be the usher, and an ani needs it, So would Rabbeinu Tam say in that case, Emer Achim Bedin? I think it would depend on whether or not we assume there was some sort of takana here or not. Okay, so that's just one possible makor for this din, and in terms of how it relates to that makor. Other addresses potentially emerge from other, if we look at other rishonim. The Rashi here and the Ritva of Vasra both connect us to a different takana derba. It's connected to the din of Yored Unaso Shachaveir. Rashi here says, Nikar Rasha, why? Sheyored L'chaye Chaveir. Because he's impeding the parnas of this fellow. And the Ritva says this as well. The Ritva in Bava Basra, the Gemara there, and it discusses the din of Yored Unaso Shachaveir. The Gemara in Bava Basra and Chaval Mabez, which is the major discussion of this halacha, says, Rav Huna says that if you have a person who's in an alley, he sets up a grindstone, right? The sort of rechayim is. V'asa bar mvoa chavre v'kamuki gabe, and somebody else sets one up as well, and he uses this, in other words, for his parnasa. So Rav Huna says that apidin, he has the ability to be ma'akev and to say, you have to leave. Why? D'amar le, kapasat le l'chiyusei, because you're impeding my parnasa. Right? You're being yored l'unosa shchaver. So the Ritva there says, Dina hud ma'akev ale, d'amar kapasat l'chiyusei, he says, perish to midam le l'ani ha'mapech l'charara, u'bachar v'natla, b'menu nikarash. So clearly, according to these Rishonim, it's related to the Yored Unaso Shachaveir.
That's so weird for Rashi, because he says Hefker.
Well, why is that weird?
Because that's Unaso for a poor person.
Two different issues. One is...
Why are you Nikar Rasha by a case of Ani? If it's only for things that are Hefker. Because you're not Yored
Unaso Shachaveir. He doesn't say only Hefker.
Rashi?
He doesn't say only
Hefker. Rashi just says it's Hefker. Why even? Forget it, only. Yeah. Why also?
No, happens to make much better sense. I mean, this is one of the kashas that Rishonim asked on Rin Tam, is raised against Rabbeinu Tam, which is, the Gemara says, Marchikin Mitzudas Adag, is, right? Kimale reads this Adag. That if you have somebody who's fishing, and this is a parna, well, somebody who's fishing, they have to make sure that you can't go within a certain distance. Kimale reads this Adag. The other Mitzudos can't do that. So they say, it's a kashas Rabbeinu Tam. Meaning, this is a din of one.
That's a form of like sustaining yourself. So, when you find hefker objects, you're not finding one. Like everything. You're not like.
What do you mean? So that's the point. Is that this is anim of hefker, and it's applying to hefker. These dagim are hefker. So for Rashi, that actually it makes perfect sense. Meaning, yeah, you can ask kasha from. So one of the answers we'll get probably.
Matana is also
one of the answers that Rishonim give is that that umnuso shine, the din of yared umnuso shachaver. That's because that was he's dealing there with yared umnuso shachaver. That's a different din. For Rashi, it's not a different thing. For Rashi, it exemplifies that it applies to Hefker as well. Now, in terms of just the relation between them, from the Ritva, it seems clear that Yorid Lemus HaShachaveir was just a special case of Ani HaMahapich B'Charara. I'm not sure that Rashi has to agree with that. The Maharit actually himself thinks they're connected also, but almost it sounds like the opposite direction. He thinks, how do we know that Ani HaMahapich B'Charara is Nikar Rasha? So the Maharit says... based on the Gemara and Tanis Rafin, familiar territory for some of us, right? That we didn't see this, we didn't get up to. That says that, but it's basically the Gemara Darshit and Zera that it's talking about Yardim Nusosh Chaveir, and the next pasuk refers to him as Russia. It says that's where you get Russia from. I don't know. Either it's clear that he understood that these are related, and it sounds like he thinks it's almost in the opposite direction that Yardim Nusosh Chaveir, that Ani Amavet Chaveir is a special case. Of Yored Lunus Hashchaveir, but either way, it's closely related. It comes from the same takana in a sense. What time is it?
45:44.
All right, so we'll. You're the post.
We're already starting in the first one.
I don't know. Can I? I'll continue a little bit, and then you'll tell me when, or no.
I think probably just that.
Okay. There we go.
Should we switch time on Sunday?
Oh, Sunday, I have a wedding. I can't be there.
Could you go earlier? Are you never? What am I even saying?
I definitely go earlier right on Sunday. But this
you still can't go.
Yeah, for this Sunday, I can't go. But in general, I'm go early on Sunday.
You don't hear the stories about the people learning until right before the chuppah.
So Shushua thinks we should have it at the chuppah.
I'm interested.
I said we should have it in the middle of the day.
Oh, the middle of the day. So let's assume now Sunday... What? Not. It's hard. Sunday I was negotiating. I negotiated Sunday evenings.
How about
my family?
Chazanstish. No.
I want to hear Shua for you. So we'll. I guess we'll pick up Mir Hashem Wednesday, and we'll discuss now the Yorod Nusach Chavero. What? Where did that come from? And,
I'm going to go to the